Hello, Internet. My name is Walter C80s Fedchuk, and welcome back to year two of Final Cut 2.0, presented by the Rough Drafts Podcast Network. By now, all of you should have watched our year anniversary episode, live reaction to Space Chimps 2. We can finally shut the door on that joke. Chase will never ever reference anything as being as bad as Space Chimps 2 because we no longer have, we have an actual reference now. It's not just in the ether. It's not just for us to imagine. It's really, 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 really fucking bad. And I felt as if I needed to get some modicum of revenge on my lovely co-host. So we were at a loss of what movie we were going to cover next. Surely we must choose a work of great wonder and rapport and excellence. And then it turned out the director of the movie we were going to watch is really fucking problematic. So we were left in limbo. And Chase, I had watched a film right after Space Chimps 2 that I have now forced you to watch. Would you say that we are, we're even?
I mean, I'm going to say this film had 32 times the budget of Space Chimps 2. So I think by the pure numbers, it should have been 32 times as good. And yet somehow here we are with me. You know what? I got to say this is about Space Chimps 2 in that film's defense. At least it knew that it was bad and kept it to a clean 72 minutes. This film is 2 hours and 10 minutes long. You could almost watch Space Chimps 2 twice in the amount of time that this film took. All I have to say is shout out to Ruby Lane, a good friend of mine, Ruby Lane and the Wicked Divine. Go listen to them on Spotify. They're fantastic. And she got stoned with me and we watched this film together. And I genuinely do not know how I would have gotten through it alone. Certainly don't think I could have gotten through it sober, because holy shit, this film sucks. Oh my god.
Well, Chase, I have a quote from some trivia on IMDb about Moonfall, the movie that we're discussing. Apparently, they had a real astronaut on set during production as an advisor, and on occasion he would approach director Roland Emmerich and say, "Hey guys, I mean, that's not really possible," and they told him to roll with it because it was just a movie.
So why bring him? What was the point then?
You weren't going to listen to the guy. It seems like you could have wasted. It's a big waste of time, which I guess fits with the theme of this film. So, fair enough.
I suppose we should roll back just a little bit here, folks, because we didn't do our proper introduction segment. We are going to be talking about the 2022 disaster film Moonfall. And by we, I of course mean my lovely co-host that I am taking my very recent vengeance on. Chase, besides being forced to watch this terrible movie, how have you been doing?
You know, I understand your concern that we're going a little bit out of order in how things would typically go in a podcast like this. But given that this film has no regard for a three-act structure, I don't see why we should be forced into the constraints of a typical podcast here. I guess... It is world season, so at least I can palate cleanse myself by rewatching Loud taking down Fnatic. That was a big highlight of the last 72 hours for me, especially because Fnatic ended up making it out, so I don't have to be disowned by my good friend of the pod, Justin. But yeah, this film has taken up a considerable amount of my brain space in the last 72 hours. And I'm very glad that we're talking about it here today so I can expunge it from my brain forever.
That's the problem, Chase. You should have been like me and expunged it from your brain 20 minutes after the fact.
Well, that's going to make this podcast very interesting.
I'm going to be honest, folks. This podcast, I think it's going to be a little all over the place because, as Chase said, the movie itself is a little bit all over the place. But let's get back on track. Let us start at the beginning of any good story. We need to begin at the beginning of the hero's journey, the archetypal archetypal journey here. First thoughts, when I told you you needed to watch Moonfall, Chase, what did you know about it? What were your expectations?
Well, I knew it was a Roland Emmerich film. And the thing about Roland Emmerich films is that they usually have a lot of spectacle, and they're usually terrible. And so I went in knowing, like, okay, there's no chance that this is going to be a good film. That's not why we're here. The question is it going to be fun bad, or is it going to be boring bad? And I love bad films. I made you watch Space Chimps too, because I love a good, terrible film. And that was the question I had going in, is could they do enough to make me invested in how ridiculous and over the top it is? And this film has a $138 million budget, one of the most expensive independently produced films ever made. And so if ever you should have a film that is ridiculous and gets the most out of its set pieces in order to give you something that is entertainingly terrible, this is it. It literally, most films do not get this level of resources and investment. And I am just stunned by where it ended up and how this script got $138 million. Do you know how many scenes they had of just two people sitting in a room and talking at each other? How?
Ugh. I don't know if you've ever had to negotiate with the Moon's agent before, but that dude plays fucking hardball.
Sure does. I mean, shout out to the Moon's agent, I suppose. Is that the good AI or the bad AI? Because we usually don't think of agents as the good AI, but it's hard to tell.
I don't know, because I don't know whether AI is good or not.
I mean,
and I don't think the film does either, to be fair.
It will destroy us all, but maybe not. So that's good.
AI good because it makes our lives easier until AI discovers that humankind is garbage and must be eradicated from... Didn't they fucking do this in Avengers in like the second movie? Like the AI hit the internet and was like, oh shit, y'all suck.
Yeah, I think that film, you know, Age of Ultron is not the best Avengers film, but at least that film has like a core theme and hits it from like minute one, and it persists throughout the entirety of the film. I didn't even realize this was a film about AI until about two-thirds in, when we discovered that that was the reason the Hollow Earth was what it was. They really teased out the potential of what was going on. Hollow Moon, excuse me. Hollow Earth, of course.
Hollow Moon.
Very much a Nazi conspiracy theory. The Hollow Moon, only tangentially a Nazi conspiracy theory, which does make it better, but I'm not sure by how much. Like, when your central premise for a film is something that David Icke is a huge fan of, I feel like you need to take a second pass at the script. I feel like that could maybe take another take.
So let's get the viewers on board in case you guys haven't watched Moonfall, which, spoiler alert for the ending, again, we're going out of order. I'm not going to suggest anyone watches this movie. Please don't waste your time. We already wasted 2+ hours of our lives to tell you it's a terrible movie, and we're about to tell you why. But here's the story. Here's the plot synopsis that we're sort of given here. A mysterious force has knocked the moon from its orbit around Earth and sends it hurtling on a collision course with life as we know it. We are with mere weeks before impact, 3 weeks exactly, we're told 3 weeks, and the world on the brink of annihilation, NASA executive and former astronaut Joe Fowler, who is played by Halle Berry, is convinced she has the key to saving us all, but only one astronaut from her past, Brian Harper, who is played by Patrick Wilson, and a conspiracy theorist, Casey Houseman, played by Game of Thrones' John Bradley. Believe her. They're the only ones to believe her. These unlikely heroes will mount an impossible last-ditch mission into space, leaving behind everyone they love, only to find that they may have prepared for the wrong mission. Chase, does anything about that synopsis there actually match what's going on in the movie? Because this is telling me that the main character is Halle Berry, And that's not the fucking case.
It sure should have been. She's certainly the most interesting part of the film. Like, Hallie does her best. I give Hallie all
does
the
credit. Does she?
I should rephrase. She does her best for the first, like, third of the film, and then it becomes clear that she's aware of what film she's in, and she stops doing her best, which I respect. That's, once you're aware that this film is going to be a train wreck, like, don't lose sleep over it. They're not going to use you properly. Certainly, she's way more interesting than fucking Brian Harper, mediocre white man of the year award winner 10 years in a row. Like, it is amazing that this guy is presented as the answer to all of the world's problems. Like, there hasn't been a single astronaut in a decade that has learned how to land a shuttle the way he did a whole one time. And, like, yes, there was a whole cover-up about what was going on at the moon, but he was still incredibly negligent in what happened, right? Like, that crash should have been anticipated by anyone paying attention to a radar. So everything that happens in the first part of the film in which he becomes the disgraced guy who is obviously also a bad dad because he refuses to let his son take responsibility for his action and seems very bitter or whatever else, like, he is by far the least interesting person that this film could have gravitated towards. So maybe I just look at Halle Berry's character and it was like, at least there's something. At least there's some reason I should care. At least there's something resembling competence. Rather than, well, here's the mediocre white man here to save the day. And because the film's decided that he's the only one who can do this. And also, NASA apparently has a whole $5 left, and so there's nothing anyone there can do. Which, I will say, very upset at this film for making me hate a film that's core message is we should fund NASA more, right? Like, they're right about that one thing and nothing else. Oh my god, this film.
Is Halle Berry competent? Because the only reason she's in the role she's given is because her boss is just like, the world's about to end. I'm gonna go spend it with my family. You want to try and fix this? Here you go. You can be in charge. I don't fucking care. She doesn't show any competency across any of this.
She has a whole team. She gets a whole team of people that she then sends away to save them when she's like, yeah, everything sure is fucked, which is a great way to save money on having the background cast available, though. Again, you had $138 million, so I'm not sure that cost-cutting was necessary.
Right, but like, they don't understand the difference in the differences in the moon, because they fucking Casey Houseman, the conspiracy guy, has to come in and be like, no, you guys are doing this all wrong because you're not saying that it's a hollow moon. Like, yeah. It's a hollow moon, it's actually this. And then it's like, oh, wait, because it's a hollow moon, our plan actually will work, because instead of piloting the space shuttle, the gravity is just going to pull it right to the moon.
There is so much about this film and its science where I just turned to Ruby and was like, I don't know how this is meant to work, because I'm not a science guy. It was not my best subject at school. But I know it doesn't work like this. Like, so much of, like, how many things would go horribly wrong if the moon was out of orbit, even a little bit? Like, yeah, they show some waves and some storms a bit, but then it just kind of stops. Like, the moon, it's settled now. We had our big moment. It's fine.
Well, it's because it's gone to the other side of the Earth. You have to remember, though, Chase, just roll with it. It's a movie.
Sure. Okay. But then can I follow protagonists who are more interesting, please? If it's a movie and we can pick whoever we want, why are we waiting with the weird conspiracy theorist guy and the most mediocre of mediocre white men and Halle Berry giving up halfway through the film? And then all of the side bullshit. There is so much side bullshit in this film. There is no excuse for it to be 2 hours and 10 minutes. If it was 90 minutes, I'd say there was fat to be trimmed.
Chase, I'm pretty sure we got to 90 minutes into the film and they still hadn't gone to space yet.
They still hadn't gone to space! There were so many scenes in this film. My voice is peaking already and we're not even like... It's too early for me to be losing my brain. But it's so much time is spent with two people in a room talking to each other, going over the most boring version of what this story could be. And that's the biggest problem why I will never be able to recommend this film, even to someone who likes bad films. There's just so much of it that gets bogged down in this, like, logistical detail that does not matter. It is entirely irrelevant to the ultimate stakes of the film, which is that the moon is trying to crash to Earth to kill us all, which really feels like enough of a premise that we don't need any of the other side stuff, right? Like, sure, I would like for the sun to not necessarily, you know, maybe learn a lesson about not being a reckless piece of shit driving cars while on a whole bunch of drugs and whatnot. And sure, I also wish that the conspiracy theorist grandma didn't have Alzheimer's. Like, that's a bummer. Is it important to the film that we're watching? Does it affect anything that matters? Absolutely not. It's so silly in trying to get us to care about these small things, these little personal details about people that we have no reason to care about. Because apparently it's not enough that the moon is falling from the sky. Really, well, feels like that was enough.
Well, considering how quickly everyone just gave up that they could even fucking do anything about the problem, then that's all that's left. All that's left is family and relationships, because we're all gonna fucking die anyway. So why should we try to solve things? Why should we try to fix anything when the government's best idea is, I don't know, fucking nuke it? Which, it worked in Armageddon, right?
Honestly, a better plan than the one that actually saves the day, right? Like, at least if you nuke the moon, you are fighting a weapon with a weapon. Like, that would make some amount of sense. And I would be more interested in a film that followed, like, what would the military do if it turned out that the moon was a weapon that was about to be used against us by some sort of... That would be interesting, right?
Hold on. The moon isn't a weapon. And now, dear listener, I need to backtrack, because you are all probably really fucking confused on what we mean by the moon as a weapon. So, we roll back.
Sorry.
The moon has been knocked out of orbit and is hurtling towards Earth. 3 weeks. And there's this entire thing of like, well, how long do we have? 3 months? Well, actually, it's less, because the closer it gets, the faster it's going to go around the Earth and blah, 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 blah. Cool. So what we're missing is from the cover-up at the beginning, there was a routine space mission that Fowler and Harper were both part of, where they were out fixing a satellite or something, and something attacked them, killing off their third member and creating the cover-up that then disgraces Brian Harper, who just so conveniently at the beginning of the movie loses his final appeal for a wrongful termination suit against NASA. So while all that's happening, Casey Houseman, who is a janitor, but he works at a fast food. Anyways, he's like hacked into a whole bunch of these like satellites. And just because he's really friendly and can do an accent, convinces some laboratory down in Peru to like give him data, pretending that he's a certain professor at like UC Irvine or something, and like collects all this data, and he discovers that the moon is out of orbit before NASA. So as they're doing all this stuff, we then learn that Houseman is a conspiracy theorist who believes in superstructures and that the moon itself is hollow. Well, much to our surprise, it does turn out that the moon ends up being hollow, and something is attacking the moon and is forcing the moon out of its orbit because it's trying to drain the energy source. And this thing that's draining the energy source is what attacked Harper and Fowler on their space mission. So it's draining the energy source, which is causing the moon to crash into orbit. But that's not all. That's actually an AI. It's this black swarm of nanobots controlled by an AI. And it's attacking the moon and attacking this power source, which is actually like a white dwarf star, because the moon is actually an arc sent from another part of space by our ancient ancestors, who were all humans, who had used the bad AI to automate their world. But then the bad AI realized humans suck, rose up against them, killed all of them. So the humans sent these arcs out into space to try and save their like DNA and their history. But instead of just like sending humans in cryosleep to like exist on other planets, all they do is send like the building blocks of life, create a new planet, put the building blocks of life on, and then evolution happens and we eventually get to where we are in the movie. Oh, and the moon is controlled by a good AI. I think we got him caught up, Chase.
See, the problem with going through the plot synopsis like that is that that implies that all of the things you just said matter, which I'm not sure the film believes all of them do. It's not the thing the film spends time on. These are things you slowly, and I mean very slowly, pick up on. And then finally, towards the end, we kind of dump the clip, so to speak, and understand what's actually happening. But this is a film that is mostly about conspiracy theorists struggling to get people to believe their bullshit, and then NASA not existing. They really loved that NASA doesn't have any funding point, because they kept going back to that several times. And I just, there's so much that has to be set up for all of these side characters that are not relevant to any of the things you just said. Like, if that was the film, it'd be a bad film. There's a lot of nonsense in the things you just said. But it could be a 90-minute film, and it would have been fine, right? Like, it would have been a spectacle of bullshit, but it would have been just that. There's so much that you don't have to include in that kind of recap, because it doesn't matter. And that's the thing I took away from the film, is how many scenes were just there, sitting in a room, talking about the things that don't matter. And then at the end, it's like, oh, by the way, AI created all of this bullshit, and humans died because of it. But also, now they're back, and evolution was all designed by these other people. It's wild. It's absolutely wild. And also, maybe a minor point, was Carrie Cassidy busy? Because, like, if we're going to have the conspiracy theorist anyway, right? Like, let's portray these people as they actually are. Because we have those people in the world, and they are absolute losers in all meaningful senses. And it really feels like trying to clean up their image was a choice that did not have to be made for this film. I don't know. Feels like,
but
any competent scientist. We could have had any competent scientist. I know NASA has less funding than they used to. I feel like we still have those. Also, other countries still have space programs, right? Like, it's not like, well, NASA isn't funded, so the entirety of the world doesn't know how to deal with space problems.
Well, yeah, Chase. That's why they did that, like, unified space mission, like, 40 minutes into the film, where they're like, hey, there's a hole in the moon. Let's go see what's going on. And it was this, like, the European and American space agencies, like, working together, and then they all fucking died. And then for them to get the heroes of our movie, Fowler, Harper, and Houseman, up into space, they had to contact the Chinese, and the Chinese gave them, like, a special lunar capsule that they had, because all of the rest of NASA's stuff was all gone. And we're thinking too much about this.
I missed the China point.
Yeah.
In the plot. I thought it was like, yeah, look at this thing, because it had been graffitied on in English. So,
well, that was the space shuttle. So the thing that they actually piloted into the moon was the lunar module, and that is what they got from the Chinese.
Amazing. Why not? A
point that actually doesn't even matter. The only reason it probably mattered is because one of the production companies on this is Huai Brothers International, which are owned by Tencent.
Oh yeah, gotta look. Why not? You know, if we're gonna do this the way that we did, which we shouldn't have, but if we're going to, why not give China the credit for at least having a shuttle? I suppose. Would have been nice to have any other amount of international collaboration working together. Like, I don't think the U.S. should be able to unilaterally nuke the moon. So that part probably needed some more conversations as well. Maybe a shot of the U.N. Also feels like maybe political figures would have wanted to argue about some of this stuff, right? That it just unilaterally being decided by Halle Berry that we're going to save the day. Like, the problem with this film, there are many problems with this film. One of the problems is that the scope of it is so ambitious that to keep things so concise and so focused around these few characters and their personal bullshit completely removes any ability to engage with it properly. Like, the kind of situation that is being presented is something that would need to be dealt with on such a massive scale that the idea that it could only be solved by one guy who hasn't been an astronaut for 10 years, because even in the situation of the cover-up, he was still pretty bad at his job. And his only redeeming feature of that first scene that we're supposed to get along with is the fact that he misremembers the lyrics to Africa by Toto, which, what a, such a choice. I don't understand how you have, and I cannot stress this enough, $138 million and make a film that feels as cheap as this film does for 90% of its runtime.
I think the expense comes from all the fucking CGI.
You don't say.
some poor, you know, 3D designing, animating, you know, animation firm had to build 99% of this movie, because at the end of the day, it's a disaster movie in the 2020s, and none of this is practical effects. It is all absolutely CGI'd. You're CGI'ing the bad AI. You're CGI'ing the inside of the moon. I don't know when they started production on this, but if this movie had most of its production done during this COVID era, everything was done in front of green screens. So again, everything is CGI. And when you're spending that much fucking money on the visuals, on the creation of the background, like, you're gonna pick and choose where you're gonna actually make decisions and spend time and effort. And at the end of the day, it's not even a good disaster movie, because the disaster feels secondary to everything else that's going on, to all of these B plots. Mm-hmm. And Chase, that's where I want to take a little bit of a deep dive in here.
Uh-huh.
What was your favorite B plot?
Favorite is a very strong word. My favorite B plot are the about 5 minutes of screen time in which I didn't realize that Kelly Yu's character was a foreign exchange student. Like, she's introduced in Halle Berry's house wearing a bathrobe and, like, bringing her tea. And, like, I was looking at that like, man, at least we have some queer representation here. Like, this is a nice couple. I wish the best for these two. And then later on, they're like, oh, yeah, look at my foreign exchange student. It's like, God damn it! We can't have one nice thing in this film. For those couple minutes where I thought that was like, oh, that's mildly progressive for a film that is otherwise based on conspiracy theories by a guy who believes that Freemasonry still exists and is used by the Order of the Knights Templar in order to perform rituals to control the world. So, you know, I guess we can't have nice things. But that was my favorite. Everything else is just like, ah, man. The Sun storyline is stupid because it all exists to justify the kid being very good at driving a car, which there have to be 1,000 different ways to do that without making him someone who was super reckless and got chased down by the cops after doing a bunch of drugs and then having a dad that refused to take any responsibility for the fact that, I don't know, things probably didn't go great if that's how his kid turned out. I don't know.
Yeah, it's called The Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, there's so many other ways you could get that mission accomplished, but we chose the one that would make us the least interested in that character. And then they try to pair him off with Kelly Yu's character, and it's like, come on now.
That seemed like so much of an afterthought. It was like, I think the actors did that themselves. I don't think that was actually written into the script. I think that was like accidental improvisation.
We have to give ourselves something to do, because otherwise none of this is worth anything, which it wasn't anyway, but at least that's like a more interesting use of your time, I suppose. The like conspiracy theorist ranting at the kids about all of his insane theories and freaking them out because Brian Harper hadn't showed up yet. That was a pretty fun moment.
that was a good scene. That was actually a good scene.
I appreciate terrifying children for no practical value. Also, no teacher there to intercept that problem. Really, just let that all run. But hey, at least it was mildly funny. The general who, like, Halle Berry's ex-husband, who is really concerned about his kid, and also, I guess, Halle Berry still, because he, at the end, tells him, we can't nuke the moon because my ex-wife is up there, and while I have no idea what her mission was, or what she is doing, or what her plan is, she's got this. Yeah, I am going to stop the entire U.S. military. And they just fucking let him, right? Like, in real life.
Well, he's got a gun.
Well, sure, but so do a whole bunch of people in that room, right? Like, what ends up happening in real life is that he gets fucking shot and then they turn the keys anyway. Really? No one in the U.S. military had a plan for that? Come on.
I mean, to be honest, though, like, he's so monotonous and has no emotion in any of the dialogue he's saying. You can't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. He's like, I care about my child.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't nuke the moon. Like, and I get it. He's trying to do the, like, I'm a gruff, like, general, like, hush, hush, everything. I can't talk. Dude, come on. Like, no, oh my God, you're a fucking piece of cardboard. Yeah.
Don't forget, though, the lawyer stepdad, who is a piece of shit, except for him sacrificing his oxygen for the daughter, and then nobody gives enough of a shit to go back for him. That was good.
So what I realized about that was that Roland Emmerich really hated the recap from the Avengers and just really wanted to kill Michael Peña.
I guess
that's what it was, is that he hated the, like, Ant-Man recap style video that they released. So he's like, no, I gotta kill Michael Peña. I need to, like, take my anger out on him.
He just
personally.
Oh, yeah. What's your favorite?
Personally, my favorite was Donald Sutherland playing Holdenfield, who was the, like, head of the secret weapons, like, bunker, just, like, coming out and being like, you don't want to look into that, and then killing himself. That was brilliant. The best way to experience this movie.
Yeah, he got out as quickly as he could. Good for him. I hope he got his paycheck.
Talking about maximizing your screen time. No, don't look into this. Bang.
Yeah. We are so fucked. Which I agree with, but for different reasons than his character thought. Also, actually, you know what? That's not true. I do have a favorite part of this film, Walter. And okay. It's that the conspiracy theorist cat is named Fuzz Aldrin. That's a good cat name.
Yes.
Fuzz Aldrin is a really good cat name.
That's especially if you're, like, really into space. Like, that is, I gotta tell you, like, they were thinking of it, and then somebody was, like, riding home on the bus or on the tube or something and just shouted, like, out of nowhere, Fuzz Aldrin! And everybody looked at him like he was fucking crazy. And he just sent, like, 30 text messages. Like, I got the cat's name. And that's the most important part of the movie. And that's probably when they started production. It's like, once you got the cat's name in the script, everything else just falls into place, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I honestly, the Fuzz Aldrin guy deserves a raise and a better job on a next film. Everyone else deserves slightly less than whatever they got here. I can't get over it.
Chase, what was this movie about?
Well, it was about a Nazi conspiracy theory. One that's peddled by a whole bunch of white supremacists, and how those conspiracy theorists were absolutely right. So that we could have the new moon crashing down on people, while also somehow not causing nearly as many disasters as it would have actually caused, which is in kind of an incredible balance of both having everything fall apart, but also spending the first 90 minutes feeling like things aren't falling apart nearly as much as they should be. I don't know. I don't know what you want from me. This is a film that is so unfocused and just wastes so much time getting to whatever its core premise is about to be. And, like, sure, I agree that we should fund NASA. I agree that we should be careful about our AI and making sure that we use it responsibly, though I don't think it's going to turn on us all and try to destroy all life the way that this film seems to think. I gotta be honest, I think I've seen enough of like those terrible AI art bots to know that that's not really the concern. Like, my concern is that they're going to try to replace a whole bunch of jobs for people that still need those because we've decided that money is a thing that should exist in our society. Not that they are going to possess the moon and attack us with seemingly no regard for its own self-interest. Is this film about anything other than we had some really cool set pieces we wanted to get to and we needed to have some characters set up because otherwise we would have had to focus on one thing and we are apparently incapable of that?
This does feel like an everything and the kitchen sink movie. It feels like it starts with a really good idea. Like, let's be honest. Fuzz Aldrin, perfect cat name. Like, you start with that idea, you're golden. No. The reality is, the moon crashing into the Earth is actually a really good idea for a disaster movie. And a lot of what you would think of the science of that, of the shortening of days, of the changes to the tide. I mean, we just had a hurricane that happened that drained all of Tampa Bay. Like, let's be honest, the actual science behind that happening would be just astronomical. Pardon my pun. It'd be incredible. It'd be so dangerous and so destructive. And, you know, whether it's destroying all the satellites that are in orbit, whether it's, you know, affecting tides, whether it's affecting day-night cycles, all of these things, that core concept, that core idea is really solid. And then you go, okay, cool. What do we want to do around this? How do we solve it? And then somebody in the background was like, well, why is the moon crashing into Earth? And you're like, oh, that's actually a good point. Why is the moon crashing into Earth? And like, rather than just have like any type of like reasonable thing and just be like, hey man, like the, you know, its center of gravity got fucked up. Like, who knows? It's space. Like, we still don't know 99% of space. Like, what happens? And then some other dude is like, what if it was hollow? And people are like, what? It's like, what if it was just a giant space station? Like, spaceship. Okay. And they just like built and added idea after idea after idea after idea after idea after idea after idea. And all of a sudden, instead of having this nice like bourbon barbecue bacon cheeseburger, you know, you got your nice buns, you got, you know, two nice patties with a couple of slices of good cheese in the middle. You got bacon, you got onion straws, and you got this bourbon barbecue sauce. Now all of a sudden somebody's like, well, I want pickles on that. Okay, we'll throw pickles on it. It makes sense. Well, can I have french fries too? Okay, I'll throw french. And all of a sudden you're throwing jelly beans. You're throwing nuts and bolts on it. And you have this monstrosity that is completely inedible and makes absolutely no sense. And you still try to present it to people as like, yeah, it's a barbecue bacon bourbon burger. It's like, no, that's not. That's a pile of crap on a plate. No. It's a barbecue bacon bourbon burger. And then you get this. This is what it is. This is a cacophony. This is a child's ice cream bar of just great ideas or kind of mediocre ideas all stuck into the same bowl. And then none of it makes sense. And somehow you have to solve things at the end and make a movie that costs almost $200
million. $138 million. And I keep harping on that point, but I do need to point out that this film was, like, Roland Emmerich directly said that this film came after reading Christopher Knight and Alan Butler's Who Built the Moon, which anyone who has, like, paid attention to Knowledge Fight or any other sort of people who cover far-right conspiracy theories would be familiar with Christopher Knight and this book. Specifically, it is a collection of a whole bunch of coincidences about the moon and other astronomical and planetary proportions, which leads the authors to believe that at some point in the future, humanity traveled 4.6 billion years back in time to artificially construct the moon, which is known to the Freemasons. That's what this film is. It is a Freemason conspiracy theory that argues that people have traveled back in time to fake a moon for their own nefarious purposes. And that, when that's your base, when that's the thing you're building off of, I too understand why you'd throw a lot of bullshit at the wall to try to distract people from the fact that that's your baseline. But also, maybe pick a different baseline. I don't know. Feels like you don't have to build a movie off of that. I just... yeah. Roland Emmerich read a bad book, didn't think about it very critically, and convinced a whole bunch of people to give him $138 million in order to bring it to life. And ignore, I guess, every edit or astronaut telling him that, hey, maybe things don't work that way. Any scientist could have pointed out that not only does it not work this way, but also that this is the least interesting way that it could work, because you had to go off of this terrible conspiracy theory. God, am I glad this film didn't make any money, Walter. $59 million at the box office, which still feels like more than it should be, but given that it's less than half of the budget, is still a pretty massive bomb, which is good, because anyone taking this movie seriously is going to pick up a lot of bad ideas that have snuck their way into this film, hoping that nobody would notice. And I gotta tell you, I noticed, and it did not help.
It's hard not to notice all the glaring fucking holes in it when there's no core to it. When it's hollow, so to speak.
Yeah.
I see what you did there. I didn't even mean to make a pun there, but like, it is. It's a hollow movie. It's a hollow movie. It really doesn't say anything. And it's sad. I don't want to say it's sad because, like, fuck, it's a terrible movie. But, like, there's a way to write this movie way, way better. Even if you want to keep the fucking conspiracy hollow moon shit. Like, hey, instead of having this, like, why are you doing both AI and hollow moon? What is the necessity of both of those things? You literally could have had the hollow moon. You could have had it be as something as just like, hey, it's a hollow moon. It has an engine that's been sustaining itself in orbit. Because actually, like, if you really do the math, it doesn't make sense that the Earth should be able to hold the moon in place. You could have totally done that sort of conspiracy angle of it. And it'd be like, oh yeah, it is. It's a moon that, it's an engine that's holding it in space, you know, holding it in place. And the engine dies. And that's what they discover. They go up there and they go, oh my God, this engine isn't working, and none of us know how to do it. And then you can still have this, you know, this hero moment from Houseman of him being like, actually, like, I've studied all this stuff, and like, I understand how the engine would work, so I can figure out how to fix it. And then he still gets his, you know, save the world suicide moment by being like, oh, I have to hold this in place. Like, I have to hold this in place until the engine starts and seal myself in, you know, like Fallout 3 style. Like, I have to seal myself in here, and that's the only way it's going to happen. And, like, you still have that moment. You still have the sacrifice where he becomes a hero and you're like, you're a real astronaut. It surprised me, actually, that Halle Berry went into space. I really thought the sun was going to go with him. I thought the sun was going to be the one that something was going to happen and Harper was going to get knocked out and his son was going to, like, use his driving skills to pilot the shuttle back or whatever. Like, I really thought that's where it was going. And then Halle Berry is like, hey, you take care of my child and my queer baiting, foreign exchange student. You take them to his dad. I'm going to go into space. It's like, what the fuck? How does any of that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the conspiracy theorist got to come along despite having anxiety and no training whatsoever, which I gotta tell you, being an astronaut's hard. It requires a lot of work. People put in a lot of time and energy. You have to diet correctly. You have to train. There's a whole bunch of, like, adjusting to the lack of gravity and the G-forces and all of that. Like, you can't just do it like that. It doesn't work that way. And sure, maybe I would be more generous to a film and suspend my disbelief that someone could make that work if it wasn't the really annoying conspiracy theorist that I was hoping the movie would shed much earlier on, and gets like a hero moment, and at the end, when the movie is absolutely sequel baiting, which, bold choice for this movie to be so convinced it was going to have a sequel. So we're only getting started, the movie says, 2 hours and 10 minutes into that disaster. God, I just... every part of this film needed to be rethought through. The central premise may be salvageable with a much better cast and much more effort towards distancing itself from the nature of how it is put together. But it is a poisonous premise executed poorly with main characters that are not interesting, not relatable, and not charismatic, that requires you to suspend all disbelief about how the world works and ignore the scale of problem that would be faced by this specific disaster in order to make an ending that doesn't make sense and is as hollow as the premise of the film is meant to be. I just, this is one of those, I know the nostalgia critics old thing is, I remember it so you don't have to. And I really feel like that's the service that we're providing people with this episode. It's because we've now seen this, you don't have to. Because whatever version of the film you think is going to exist based on all of the craziness that we have talked about, I assure you the actual experience is 100 times more boring than this premise would imply. And that's the biggest sin, is how much of it is just fucking dull as it wastes our time with a terrible idea.
It was the point where it does, it wastes your time. Like, ultimately, it wastes your time. Like I said, it was probably 90 minutes into the movie before they even, like, sent the actual heroes towards space. But the reality of it is like, I fucking laughed so hard the last 45 minutes of this movie. It was so ridiculous, so over the board. And not even just, like, in a fun way. It was more like, I can't fucking believe that this is what they got to and this is what they're trying... This is the shit they're actually trying to serve me right now. Like, really. This is what we're doing.
This is what they're proud of. This is what they've been building towards this whole time. Yeah, again, so thankful to having a friend there, because I don't know that I would have been able to make it to the peak of its nonsense otherwise. And just trying to wrap my head around the layers of bullshit that this film ultimately works towards. It is... that's where the fun is. And I guess that's like the final topic here, right? Is it so bad it's good or so bad it's bad? And I would say that the first 90 minutes are so bad it's bad, and the last 40 minutes are so bad it's good. Like, if you could just watch when they finally agree to go up to space, I think you would have all of the context you would need to understand where the ending is going. Because again, most of this film simply does not matter. And you might have some fun with how batshit some of its final closing moments are. It's just way too much to get through in order to get there. And I guess Roland Emmerich really thought he nailed it, right? Like, that's the only answer, is that this guy only makes films that are over 2 hours long because he is convinced that all of them need that level of setup and gravitas. And I don't know how to tell him that, like, you're not good at this. You can just do it in 90 minutes. And so many people would be so much more interested in the craziness that you spew out. But hey, he did Independence Day, so I guess everybody gets one.
Two. Because The Patriot is a good movie, regardless of Mel Gibson's craziness. Like, that's a genuinely good movie. He's got two good movies, and, like, maybe one okay movie, but then the rest is this disaster porn that's just absolutely atrocious. Chase, I feel like I don't have to ask this question, but because it is the end, and because we do try to keep a sense of structure in our podcasts... final thoughts, rating, should people watch it, you know, yada, yada, yada.
terrible film. I'm going to give it a 2 out of 10. I just, more than anything, I want... I feel like the number one answer, if you're trying to be like a writer and you're trying to get better at like, what would a screenplay look like? How can I make myself somebody who could write a Hollywood film one day? I think you should watch this film and think about what are the more interesting ways I could tell this story? Because I guarantee you, if you watch with a friend and get out a notepad, you can come up with 15 more interesting ways that this exact story could be told. Like the kinds of people that would be in this world that would be more interesting to follow. The kinds of world dynamics that could be explored. Like just imagine just following a scientist who finds this reading, like someone who actually knows what they're talking about rather than just a conspiracy theorist. Like someone whose job it is to recognize this stuff and how they would try to like come up with these innovative solutions to avoid throwing nukes at the problem without any of the conspiracy stuff. Like, that would genuinely be a more interesting film. There's so many things that would be more interesting than the film that we got. And the only reason that it gets the extra point than a one is because Fuzz Aldrin is a good name. And at least some of the ending is so ridiculous that it... I could appreciate it, but I just, man, you could make more interesting, terrible films, let alone good films than the one that we got. And that's the biggest shame of all. If we're going to waste our time, at least do it in a way that is interesting. And the first 70 minutes of this film just aren't.
That's really the true shame of it, is that ultimately... it's a waste of time. It's not a fun waste of time. It's not, there's no payoff. Ultimately, we're saying it. You have to get through the first 70 minutes of this film to get to the ending part that's actually like semi-enjoyable in a, oh my God, this is so fucking terrible, I'm laughing at everything way. That doesn't sell a movie. There's no way you could sell someone on like, yeah, 3/4 of it's really bad, but that last quarter part, it's still pretty bad, but it's like a little enjoyable. Like, there's no way to sell that. And, you know, at the end of the day, Chase, there's a quote. I'm gonna do a little bit of dialogue from the movie. Dr. Houseman says, so Ziggy was right. Fowler says, who's Ziggy? Houseman responds, a friend. His theory is that all megastructures are actually arcs. And Harper says, well, Ziggy smokes a lot of weed. And I think that's what this movie needed, was a lot of fucking weed. I'm going to agree with you. It's like a 2 out of 10. Don't fucking watch it. Don't waste your time. Don't give them the marginal, tiny little residual that they're going to get from watching this on HBO or HBO Max or anything. Go watch Spaceships 2. Go watch that instead. Please. This isn't better. This isn't worse than Spaceships 2. Because I think... The visuals actually work in this movie, unlike Spaceships 2, but Spaceships 2 might be a lot more fun to watch with our podcast on in the background, and you get to see us laugh and joke and all those things. Chase, I was really proud of that podcast, and if people wanted to talk about the two terrible space movies that we have just subjected them to, where can they find you on the internet?
First of all, I think you've made a very good point that this film would have been more interesting had they taken the cast of Space Jimps 2 and had it be monkeys that had to solve this all along. I would have enjoyed that more. You can find me at Chase Wassenaar on Twitter. You can follow the podcast at Rough Drafts Pod. Let us know what terrible films you enjoy that are fun. Let's bring the fun back into our terrible films. And let us know... if you watched this film, what possessed you to do so, and whether you were able to find slightly more joy in it than we did. I think that's always, I always love hearing from people, and I hope that everyone did enjoy the Space Jimps too. That kind of riff tracksy content is something that we haven't done a lot of previously, and I would like to do more of in the future. Maybe that'll be our anniversary tradition moving forward, but let us know what you think.
Well, Chase just said, give us bad movies that you all enjoy. So I think he's confirmed that our next movie is now going to be Morbius.
I think we need a good one. I think we need one good one before we get back into the bag.
We do. We need to actually go find a good movie to watch. And that's something that Chase and I will discuss once we end this podcast. As always, you guys can find me at C80s. LOL. We're sorry, Internet.